Hello and welcome back to the No Pro Podcast, where we have a simple motto here, and that's to try something, suck at it, own it, but enjoy it. I am one of your hosts, Mike Dobson, and joining me as always, Chase Nanavetti. It's a wonderful grunt. Today's, I think, a very special episode today, because we're going to be discussing all things nerd culture. And today we have two guests with us today. We have one returning, very well reviewed and potential pretty much going into his own podcast according to his students, the professor,
breakout star,
Joel St. Pierre.
Gentlemen.
And new to the podcast this week, we have an avid collector, very much involved in nerd culture, and entrepreneur, and excited to be here to join the conversation with us, Ryan Wilson. All right, and as per usual, we'll be kicking things off with our wonderful segment we have here, What's Fucked?
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck is that?
And then for today, as the privileges always go to the newest guests, Ryan, we would like to start you off with What's Fucked?
Well, when you first told me about this, I took it as a what the F, I guess. They're kind of the same, but that's how I... excuse me. Sorry about that. So, my story is going to make you scratch your head, I guess, as opposed to, you know, an astoundment like, a volcano crashing on a village.
Okay.
Right? The story would be, three of us are... I call this the mistake in math. Someone told me a long time ago, and still to this day, when I tell the story, it's... So, three of us are going to Vegas, let's say, on a road trip, right? We're traveling all night. It's the middle of the night. We decide it's time to crash. Can't drive anymore. So, we go to a local motel, go to the doorman, say, how much for a room? He says, $30. So, each of us take $10 out of our pocket, give it to the doorman, go to our room. In the morning, the owner of the motel comes and says, there's people that stayed here. And goes, yeah, three guys came in the middle of the night. So, how much did you charge them? Charge them $30. He's like, that was too much. They came at 2 a.m. So it takes $5 out of the till, gives it to the doorman and says, can you go give him back $5? So as the doorman's walking down the hall, he's like, how do I divide 5 by 3? You can't. So he takes $2, puts it in his pocket, knocks on the door and says, hello. One of us answers and says, I'm returning some of your money. You guys paid too much for the room. Here's $1 each, right? So how much have each guy paid for the room at that point?
$9.
$9, right? Plus the doorman's got $2 in his pocket, which is only $29.
Wait a minute.
So, there we go. That's the story. I mean, you think about it from any angle you want, and obviously it works one way, but from another way, we're short a dollar, and that's plain and simple.
That is a very... that is fucked. Like, that's actually a great mind fuck, really.
Yeah. Math is fucking weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But I have never understood it, so I'm comfortable with it. But I can still, even I understood, like, wait a minute, something's not right there.
We each paid $9 for the room, right? And the guy's got $2 in his pocket.
It's like the Monty Hall problem. You guys ever heard of that? So, okay, there was a game show back in the day. I think they resurrected it or something. But you had to, like, pick one of three doors for a prize. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, do you pick door A, B, or C? And you're like, I pick B. And then what they do is they open one of the doors you didn't pick. And then you have the choice. Do you want to switch doors or keep the door you already picked? Because we know that this one wasn't one of the prizes. You know, this is the fake prize behind one of these doors. They never open the real door. Okay, so 50-50 chance now. Do you want to switch or keep it? Now, you would think doesn't matter.
The math doesn't work out, because I've heard of this before where you're better off to change it.
You're better off to change it.
Because there's a 67% chance it's now the other door. And I was like, I don't even understand that.
Right. And behind it, one of those doors is Homer Simpson. Behind the other door is a Bengal tiger.
The Bengal tiger is named Homer Simpson.
The game show that used to really be about that was that...
Let's make a deal.
Yeah, let's make a deal.
They said that the Wayne Brady one.
If you pick the briefcase that actually had the money at the very beginning, and then all the rest were eliminated, right? The chances were, percentage-wise, that you did not pick the right one from the very beginning, right? So a lot of people would switch it up because the percentage of, I don't remember what it was, but it was 60% that you...
I always respected the people on those shows where it was like they would get... So if the total prize was like 50 grand and they'd hit one that was like 15,000, they'd be like, I'll take the 15,000. They'll be like, don't you want to keep playing? He's like, no, I'll take the 15,000. I'm out. Thank you. Like, those are the people who beat casinos. He's like, hey, you just made like $200,000. You want to stay and gamble some more? I do not. They'll give me my money. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Real money is better than more or not real money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a story for that after the podcast. It's not to do with nerd culture, so it won't make sense, but yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Ryan. That was a good mind fuck, actually. Joel, what do you got for us?
All right. So you guys know how the pandemic and the COVID was all like a fake government conspiracy?
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
So like Trudeau and the Chinese government like created a fake pandemic to keep everybody inside, all compliant and stuff. Well, then, you know, they came up with the vaccines because they got to have an end game for this strategy, right? So the end games were just to get Bill Gates's 5G microchip into us, right? Yeah, you guys all got yours, right? We're all chipped. Okay, so they're like, we don't even need the mics. They're already listening. So anyway, now we're all chipped and we're all good civil employees. But then, right, this, like, everybody was ignoring all this stuff. And they needed to find a way to keep this going, right? Keep everybody inside and compliant. So Trudeau had to create these smoke factories up north. These factories to like pump out chemicals under the guise of being smoke, right? And then now we're all getting the compliance chemicals with a nice little barbecue flavor that they can just inject in, right? I get like a smoke thing for my barbecue at home. Right? It's the same thing, just make it smell like maple. And they're just pumping that out. Plus they're getting the U.S. because Sleepy Joe Biden, he's in on it too, right?
Of course.
So now all the, you know, the good Christians in the South, they're all up to this, right? They know what's up. So they're all mad at Canada because they're like, Trudeau, dude, like, I don't want my compliance chemicals.
And they're praying away the smoke.
Well, that'll work, actually. You got to, there's a website for that. Sweet. So, yeah, my what the fuck is Trudeau. What are you doing, right? I do feel more compliant, though. He's a great prime minister. I love that.
It's funny that Bill Gates thing about the microchip, because Elon Musk has officially been approved to test his microchip that he wants to put in people.
Oh, the neural lace thing. Yeah. Okay. Jokes aside, because I have to say for the record, that's all a joke. Nothing sarcastic on the internet, so I have to say I'm not seriously condoning, although there's a Vice article about people who actually believe all of that shit.
I believe it.
Anyway.
I believe there's a Vice article.
Neuralink scares the shit out of me, okay? It's not going to actually work. That's the good news is I don't think any of this will actually work. But the idea that they're allowed to test this at this stage is terrifying.
So Gates never once came out and went, I want to put a microchip in people. He never implied it. He never talked to anybody about it. It was never brought up.
He made billions of dollars without having to do that.
Exactly. Musk outright said, I want to put a microchip in people. And everybody's like, yeah, that's cool. Like, what will it do? Does it run our phones better? What's going on? Like,
Yeah. I mean, if anybody's worried about, you know, people controlling them or manipulating them, Instagram's putting something directly into your brain. Like, I mean, yeah, he's Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? If you're worried about the algorithms on Twitter, maybe worry about the chip directly sitting on your brain.
Yeah,
that's scary.
Yeah, and like you said, the fact that they get approval for that, and
but there's conspiracy theories also. So I made up a conspiracy theory, and I was going to try and get it to like float. My conspiracy theory is that Mel Gibson is a time traveler. Okay. He's actually Judas. He was there when it happened, and he's been trying to get that movie made since, and it's never worked. So he's just gone through history being different people until he could get to the point where he could tell the story properly. So like, basically, Passion of the Christ, everything between Passion of the Christ and the crucifixion of Jesus, Mel Gibson was like a Scottish warrior, an American patriot, a Vietnam vet, and now he's like this guy, and he's like, now I can do Passion of the Christ. So he's a time traveler who's Judas, who is just trying to tell everybody the proper story according to him.
Wait, was he from the future first, went back and became Judas, or is he originally from a long time ago?
No, he's like an old vampire. He's just like slowly gained knowledge over the centuries and is now like Judas.
Okay, so here's my question. It's like 200, you know, CE. Mm. He's been Judas for a couple hundred years, and he's like, I'm going to make a movie. But like, what the fuck's a movie?
Huh?
So at this point, he'd be like, I'm going to make a puppet show.
No.
He could have pulled that off.
He just wanted to tell the tale, but he had to wait until the technology was there to tell the tale. Why do you think that movie's in Aramaic? Who remembers Aramaic? Only Mel Gibson, because he was alive when he was speaking it back then. You watch. This is going to end up on like 4chan or something. I'm going to have to go out and be like, I was kidding. What the fuck?
No, if they're going to give you money, say it was all right.
It's fair.
So what are you doing for what's fuck other than Mel Gibson being a time traveler?
Vin Diesel is not a time traveler. They've made another Fast and Furious movie.
What are we up to now?
Baker's Dozen? Ten.
Oh, okay.
But the tenth one is actually a trilogy movie.
Is it trilogy?
They've actually come out and said, yeah, so he was only supposed to do 10, but now the 10th one, he somehow is going to make into a trilogy story.
So
it's actually going to be 13.
Is it
going to
be about family?
It's all about family.
It's always about family.
So I watched this thing Saturday morning, I think, maybe Friday night, and I'm not really paying attention to it because you don't need to.
Fast and Furious.
Every once in a while, look at the screen. Yeah, okay, still going. He's wearing white pants still. Nobody's talked to him about this yet. Has to stop. But, so I'm watching it, and it dawns on me, I'm about an hour in, I was like, I don't remember them saying family as much. Like, they said it a couple times in Spanish, but whatever. And then, so as soon as I acknowledged that fact in my brain, they said family 8 times in the next 5 minutes. Like, it was one of those things where I had gone, like, mute to it, and then all of a sudden, once I realized, I'm not paying attention for this, it was everywhere. Like, family, family, family. And some of this, like, there's no way this shit doesn't make the news. Like, some of the things that they blow up and crash into and fly over and shit, like, planes are falling out of the sky. Never. Like, there's never a thing where it's like, they blew up a dam and so and so, and millions of people are dead because it flooded the village that was downstairs. No, it's just about family, man.
Yeah, that's Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, the previous film, they put a Fiero in space, and that didn't make the news. And
dude.
Some local...
They as a car fan and someone who would support brainless movies, because just of... Yeah. They have things in it that I like, scenery and cars and whatever. Those movies are just... I don't know, man. I'm trying to hold on. I'm trying to hold on. I hope. I just... 2 hours of action and just...
Yeah, well, it's a Fiero in space.
And then to your point... I don't know how Hollywood's getting away with the last movie, but split into three. It's a pattern in how they don't actually just say you're making 3 movies.
But the problem is the way that they've scripted it, so to speak, was to properly close out the story while they'll need more movie to do it. But the whole thing is, especially within Hollywood now, as everybody knows, if it makes any sort of money, make 8 more films of that.
Repackage it with new cars. Every time.
Yeah, I have a new car, and now
maybe
it's like
they got away from the cars and Fast.
Oh yeah,
that's the issue.
Well, they got away from the cars. Now they've been
they wrote street racing,
street racing, cops and robbers. Yeah. Then it became a vendetta thing because then it was like cops and robbers, but now it's become like a heist movie, and now I don't even know what the fuck it's about because they've gone so far beyond everything that every character they introduce is now added to the next movie. Like, people that have died 11 times. Like, I don't know. Like, even Paul Walker is dead, and they somehow brought him back for 2 movies.
Nobody dies.
Yeah, like, it's a never-ending franchise. The last one? The newest, Fast X, one that just came out, I have not yet, because... Oh,
okay, so there's a... Yeah, what you say is true. Yeah. Nobody dies.
Yeah,
ever.
Well, the whole thing is like, what the only thing they have left is, comes to your point from earlier, the only thing left is time travel. And obviously they have to go to that next because...
If Mel Gibson is in the last Fast and Furious movie, you will know that I am right.
Yeah, because...
Also, I'll probably be dead because they'll come for me at that point.
By that point, it'll be like Judas driving around in a fucking Mustang. Like, it's the very first car that they used for Fast and Furious or something stupid.
Well, that was the thing. It was like street racing. Now they're like
cars in space, man.
No, it's wait a second. You guys have hit the nail on the head. Mel Gibson will come back in his Torino.
Yeah.
So coming back in it. What was that? 70. Whatever that was.
Oh, the one that.
From the original.
Yeah. Diesel. Yeah.
Right? He'll come back in that thing.
Oh, yeah. He has to. He'd be like, it's the first engine built by
Judas.
Actually,
no. Because nobody fucking dies. So the Dom's dad's gonna show up at some point and be like, no, that was another guy screaming and burning to death in the car. I actually got out on lap 3, I just didn't want to do it anymore.
And by the way, you also have 7 more sisters and 8 more brothers. Your mother's alive.
Sorry I didn't show up for the last 40 years of your life.
Yeah, it's all about family.
This is Mel Gibson.
Sounds good.
Alright. Well, be difficult to top that. I originally had one story. I might even just do both because both were really quick. So yesterday being Saturday, June 10th, so the UFC was in Vancouver yesterday.
Oh, nice.
They're still doing that, eh?
Well, yeah. Well, it was the first time they've been back in Canada in a while. So the only reason I bring up the story was there was a Canadian fighter early in the card came out. So obviously the crowd goes nuts because, you know, Canadian guy, Canadian crowd. So just as he passes out of the entrance area to go towards the octagon, the railing above the entrance falls apart and a bunch of fans fell to the ground.
On him?
No, they just missed him.
All good.
So, and that's the whole thing is, they continued the fight.
Absolutely.
Like, nothing happened.
No.
Like, there are people hanging.
It's a multi-million-dollar business.
Yeah, but apparently, allegedly, everybody's okay, except for, like, one guy online was, like, going off about, like, it's world-ending, and he actually doesn't even have any injuries, but he's going to sue everybody, as he should.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Sue the shit out of the stadium. But, yeah. They're not stopping the fights.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's what I think what was fucked about it. So they're like, oh, look at the crowd. Anyway, back to the fight. Like,
if I'm the fighter with my back to the thing going
on. No, he actually turns around and is like, acknowledges people have fallen. He's just like, eh. And just.
I wish he hadn't turned around. I wish he just heard it. And then somebody whispered, like, the thing just fell. And then he just went, like, he has special powers lifting his arm up. The guy in the ring's like, what the fuck? It's like that old Key and Peele sketch where there's two UFC fighters. And it's like the pre-talk interviews. And Jordan Peele's like, oh, man, I'm going to go in there. And I'm going to mess him up, man. It's going to be. And then they go to Keegan,
yep.
And he goes, he's like, he's supposed to be Brazilian, and he's like, God has told me to change his face, so I will change his face. And then they go back to Jordan Peele, and he's like, did he just say he's going to change my face? And he's like, don't worry, you will feel no pain as I crush your larynx from the inside. He's like, what? I'm only here to fight, man.
I remember, that was a good show.
Yeah.
But then, so other than that, so apparently people are fine. But the fact is they went on like nothing happened. Like,
so I never actually watched Key and Peele, the show. I just saw the sketches on like YouTube or like videos or whatever. Then I went back because I remember hearing Chappelle say, I had to watch Key and Peele do my fucking show for 2 years. And I was like, I mean, fair, it's a sketch show, but I mean, Saturday Night Live is a sketch show.
Yep.
Then I saw a Key and Peele, and I was like, oh shit, it's like the same set. Like they didn't even change. They just like brought them in and were like, here, this is your show now.
Yeah, pretty much. That's where they're like, well, we can't waste all this money. Like, we've already spent, like, you guys can use it. There you go. Mm. Done. Comedy doing things Central. On a budget.
I mean, they did write their own stuff, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. My favorite Comedy Central joke was Jon Stewart when Dave Chappelle won the Mark Twain Prize. And he goes, Dave, Comedy Central, I found out, gave Dave $50 million. And Dave walked away. And that's when I realized that Comedy Central has $50 million. He's like, they won't even let us have snacks.
Oh, good times.
That's great.
All right, nerd culture.
All right, well, that takes care of what's fuck for this week, anyway.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck is that?
All right, now on to nerd culture. So, well, basically, the purpose of what we were discussing here is that. There used to be, anyway, a lot of stigma behind nerd culture. How if you collected anything, or if you tried something new that was, you know, you even wore a t-shirt that said Star Wars or something, and then it was just like, oh, what a loser, what a geek. And then you look at things now, where, like, the entire industry of, like, Hollywood is half run by nerd culture. Everything, like, well, I'd probably say more than half, yeah. But, I mean, like, everything that everyone does now is, you know, video gaming. Like collection building, like everything under the sun is nerd culture now. So for us, it's just like there's no reason not to even look into it or try something within that culture now because it's so widely accepted. Like why wouldn't you look into that kind of stuff? And that's why we've kind of got the guests we have today because everyone has some type of involvement in that. Like Ryan, for instance, you've got a fucking pretty impressive collection of shit going on at your place, man. It's like between the Star Wars, the Transformers, like a lot of the busts you have are fucking like impressive stuff. Like there's like the new Phoenix one you have. That's a fucking beauty, man. Like that's really nice. I really like that. And the fact you've changed up your display casing and everything like that, I love it. It's something to behold. I don't know if you have any pictures, you can show them later, but it's an impressive collection.
Thank you.
Yes, and then the amount of number of discussions that you and I have had over a number of things, especially for the, like, even Star Wars, is with all the new shows and not so much lack of good films they've been putting out, but
I mean, Fast X just came out.
Yes. Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Obi-Wan Kenobi shows up in there at this point. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
It'd be amazing.
But like, even, like, look at, like, the mainstay of The Mandalorian. Like, even for Star Wars itself, like, there's a lot of people that weren't really even, per se, like, even fans of that. And then Mandalorian came out and even changed that further, where people have brought in a new, like, fandom, so to speak, like, into the culture now. Because just of a character that they just freshly created off that entire universe. And I know that you and I have discussed this before, where going outside the main universe of Star Wars isn't something like a lot of people would even know about. They know Han, they know Luke, they know Leia, and that's it. That's as far as knowledge goes. And Chewie, yes, he's a big one.
And Vader, everybody knows Vader.
Yes, but then anything behind that, they're like, oh, no one cares about that. But now, like with Disney buying up every property under the sun and having bought Star Wars, like it just really blew up that culture, I think.
It's just, it's interesting from my perspective, because when I was in high school, we won't, you know, with Pharaoh basically and Cleopatra back then, you read, I'm not that old, but anyway, if you read a comic book, it was a secret thing. But like you'd go to the comic store after school at home. You'd never bring that to
you
school.
You definitely weren't sitting in the lunchroom being open. Like, X-Men.
Exactly, right? And just years went by, and I don't know exactly, I guess we have to attribute it to, you know, Marvel and Disney and those kind of things, because now I was talking to my wife and I was talking about how popular Marvel is and Star Wars, and she was kind of laughing at me and like, ah. We went to the mall and I pointed out grown men, right? And children and women just through the mall, and probably 3 in 10 people had some sort of Captain America, Star Wars, you know, something on their body or something that signified that they, you know, were into that sort of thing. And it's pretty crazy, because somehow it flipped to where the jock, to use air quotes, you know, in school, right? The popular guy now is, you know, the guy who's going to make a lot of money seems to be the one that is well cultured in this sort of stuff, right? He's going to go to Hollywood. He's going to figure out the next idea. So it's,
I think it helps that nerds, I'm using air quotes, are now in control of a lot of that stuff, right? Like, Jon Favreau is a huge nerd. But he's a genius. Like, some of the stuff he's done is genius. Like, Iron Man, the first Iron Man movie was Jon Favreau. Yeah. The third Iron Man movie was Jon Favreau, because they only let him make the movie he wanted to make if he made the third Iron Man movie. And then he, like, rewrites Marvel. So Marvel's good. Then he leaves to go do Star Wars. Mandalorian starts taking off like a rocket. Like, Favreau is changing the way that he is to nerd culture right now what Jimmy Iovine was to music in the last 20 years.
I think an easier comparison is for Favreau. I would say he's George Lucas back in his day. He is the new George Lucas.
Lucas is a crazy person. You need to understand that George Lucas is out of his fucking mind.
Yeah, that's why he's the new one. There was a time where he was thought to be crazy, and then look what he did, which is one movie.
It was The Simpsons that nailed it, because Bart and Lisa break into Lucas Ranch. And George Lucas is the same size as him, which was fantastic. But they break in, and he's like, you're right, kids. I'm going to stop doing all this political drama and go back to stealing stories from samurai movies and westerns. And then you like kind of like, you look at those two genres, and you put them together and put them in space, and you're like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I think Favreau's more I don't want to say more creative, because Lucas did create an entire...
He created Star Wars.
Did he write the books?
I don't think he did the books.
I don't think so.
So he didn't create Star Wars. He just made the movies. Well,
I don't know. I you can't quote me on that, because I'm not 100% sure. I know, like, the way that canon has gone in Star Wars, there's writers about everything, so I don't even know.
But I think that's a good thing. I don't know what you guys think about this, but I think fan fiction has helped these products develop. Because sometimes I think the actual writers will stumble across something that a fan has written, or has written into them and said, like, hey, have you guys ever thought about this? And then they're like, oh shit, no, we haven't thought about that. Like, we should add that into the culture.
I think it kind of works both ways. Sometimes they pick up on stories that, like, the fans have said, like, hey, you know how I think this season ends is like this, and the writers go, oh shit, that's actually better than what we were going to do. Let's do that. But I think other times, actually, they hear about the stuff and go, well, we can't do that now. And then they walk away from what was actually a plot that made sense that some people figured out, and they go, what if we confuse everyone and do something that makes no sense?
Yeah.
That's the only way to explain the ending of a lot of series. Game of Thrones specifically.
Oh, fuck.
See, Star Wars is that one thing that I believe Hollywood, the creators, whoever you want to say, has listened to fans too much.
Fair.
I think that when Lucas made his first movies, he had, man, what did he have at the time? He had Star Trek. He had, I'm just trying to think of science fiction.
Battlestar Galactica, would that have been out around then? Was that later?
Yeah, right.
Doctor
Who. Lost in Space.
So he was going in a direction where he visualized toy sales. He visualized, you know, a space western, right?
Yeah, he turned down a lot of money to get a piece of the toys.
Yes.
In fact, didn't he get like 100% or something?
Yeah. Right.
Which is brilliant.
Oh, absolutely. Made him a fortune. Mm-hmm.
So he goes down this path, and then the world kind of follows. And to be honest, can you think of another person who's changed, who's added vocabulary into the world? Like, it doesn't matter if you're a Star Wars fan. Mm-hmm. You know the word Jedi. You know the word Yoda. You know the word
Force,
Darth Vader, right? So he went that way. He had a story. And I think, you know, then it just kept going. And now I think with Disney, because they're so wanting to please everybody, right? They're just so afraid to offend the masses. You know, maybe we put the wrong story out there or whatever it is, that they just make garbage. Like, because there's more fans that will write their ideas than there are people that just want to see something good. Like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I've never wrote to anybody ever about what they should possibly do with the movie, right? But someone at home with a lot of time on their hands is like, oh, you know what I mean? And they're I don't know, something's changed.
So Disney created a separate company because that's how they were going to get around the whole Deadpool thing, right? Because Disney, officially, Disney doesn't swear in their movies. And they don't, you know, there's no sex in their movies and stuff like that. Like, gratuitous violence, fine.
Fun fact on that, not to cut you off, yeah, no. But what was Disney's very first movie that they made off-brand? Do you know that?
No.
Splash. Back in 1982.
That's Mermaids.
No, with Daryl
Hannah. Daryl Hannah.
Right? Okay, yeah.
Back in 1982, they wanted to make that movie, and it had a bit of nudity, and it's a bit racy, so they created a different company, Touchstone, to make that movie, but it's Disney-owned.
And that's how they were like getting around the Deadpool thing, because when they bought Fox, and they were like, okay, we have all these properties now, and they're like, and Deadpool couldn't be denied that it was a huge moneymaker. Like, Ryan Reynolds will be all the money in the world for the rest of his life off that one character.
But again, it also shows within that he actually gave a shit about the character. Because when they had previously released that under the Fox banner on the
Wolverine
Origins, holy fuck, was that a steaming pile of garbage.
But okay, so that's an interesting point you bring up, that he gave a shit, because maybe from collecting you'll agree with this. Todd McFarlane did more for toys in the last few years, well, like, what, however long he's been doing now, 20 years probably, 30 years, than most people have in a long time. Because he took the time when he did an action figure, he wasn't just like, put it in a press, launch it out there, make sure it's got opposable joints so it can, like, you know, be posed. It was like, I want this to look as close to the real fucking thing as possible. Like, it has to be almost perfect. I understand that we've got like limitations, but I remember when I used to see I would go on his website just to see what he was going to release next, because I was like, these are insane. Like, the weapons, the cloaks, the way they look, the baseball players, hockey players with like their masks professionally designed to look like the players. And I was like,
because he's coming at it as an artist, not as an entrepreneur.
So it's funny you bring that up, because I had a huge collection of McFarlane, but I used to collect all the hockey.
I remember just, you had a bunch of Leafs guys.
Yeah, you know, I had all the Leaf guys, and I had like a super rare, like Curtis Joseph was like one of the first ones he released, super detailed, and I had
I remember Curtis Joseph's mask from that toy.
Yeah.
And like, I had, holy shit, look at his teeth.
Yeah, like, I had something like 30 some odd characters from that. And I actually had to keep waiting for the releases. I had to sell the whole thing because I wasn't allowed to display anything. Fuck. I'm going to get into that. But anyway.
That'll be our next podcast about relationships.
Yeah. Talking about that. Fucking. But anyway. But yeah, no, I, yeah, he has probably one of the most detailed series of things. And I loved his stuff. And I was pissed off that I'd stop collecting that, but
it's actually funny just him, because he's one of those ones that was a visionary who made, if you remember, the first lines didn't have any licensing on them.
Nope.
Right? And then obviously the sports, you know, companies and the teams actually were like, well, we're missing out on a big chunk of
why didn't we ever do this before?
Yeah, yeah, but you know, he was first. That was the egg came before the chicken sort of scenario.
But he's another one who got screwed over when he went to go to film, Like, he goes to take Spawn. And some people love that Spawn movie. And, like,
the problem is it was PG-13. And that's not even remotely close to what the character is.
PG-13, it didn't follow the books the way that it should have. You know what I mean? No. Like, it kind of did, but it was, like, not really.
It was a step forward at the time, but they didn't know what they were doing.
No. And so the new one, if it ever comes out, the Jamie Foxx one, is supposed to be much more like the books. And apparently you don't even really see him much. Because in the books, you don't see Spawn much. Like,
he's in the shadows.
Not like he's walking through the mall, like, all right, I just got to go stop by Froyo, and then I'll head back to the alleys and sit on my garbage chair and wait for the homeless people to celebrate me. Like, no, he's in the shadows with his cloak over his face because he's, like, hamburger meat, and he's just, like, kind of hiding, like... In the other one, he, like, busted into a gala ball, like, in the middle of the gala ball, and he's just like, Spawn! I got upset about that movie. I was the comics were so good, and you just screwed it up.
Well, the animated series was really good.
If anybody wants
to fix that, let's go back and check that out.
It was really good. That's how the movie should have been. Like, the way the animated series was, how the movie should have been. You hear him kind of growling from the darkness. You never really see him that much until somebody gets hurt.
But again, the whole thing with Hollywood is you can't make money on only R-rated, where the thought was, you can't make money on R-rated stuff, because then you take away the kids and the potential toy lines and stuff like that. If they can't see the movie, why would they buy the toy?
But that's Hollywood's mistake in not looking at the generation that was coming up who grew up with all this shit, who was like, yes, I would like to see a Spawn movie, thank you. Like, could you get it done, please, now, go.
But then, to Ryan's point earlier, it was like, I think they were still somewhat apprehensive, because they're like, I don't know how big the market actually is for this.
Right.
Because again, I think there was still that stigma of like, if you have a comic book and stuff like that, where everyone's just kind of like, oh, there's a fucking...
But I think that's bullshit, because like, they literally let Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan make the same movie 3 times in different cities.
Yeah,
was in Seattle, the one about mail, and you've I think there's mail. Another one. Yeah, you got mail, and then there's another one, I think. It's the same movie 3 times. 2 people who don't like each other, who live in the same city, probably never meet, or maybe slightly different cities, because Sleepless in Seattle technically was different cities. Oh, they met! Oh, they fall fantastically in love. Oh, that's over.
And this happened. If you want to
argue, are you suggesting that Hollywood uses templates?
But that's the thing. If you know, like, you made that same movie 3 times, and then this person came to you and said, like, hey, and the internet is around now. So if Hollywood wanted to, they could just float out a thing and be like, hey, who wants to see a really good Spawn movie? And then gauge your reaction.
It has never made sense to me. I mean, they'll make Robotech, right? Like, I've been waiting 30 years for them to make a Robotech. They made Pacific Rim, right?
Yeah.
Which
I liked
arguably... But,
well,
but,
I mean, it could have been a better movie, but I loved
have,
that.
You have the technology, you have the ability, right? Evangelion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have this... huge amount of people that either read the comic or watch the cartoon, and you don't, and then you continue to make
garbage
just movies, and you wonder, this round table, when they're sitting there, they're like, really? Like, okay, this comic book or this TV show ran for 5 years and it had, I don't know, 20 million viewers, right?
Yep.
But let's make something that no one's ever heard of and have a bad director and, you know, cut back when we need to and see if it'll succeed.
We'll just shoot CGI all over it and we'll see what happens, and maybe it'll work out.
With something like Robotech, it's a huge investment in CGI, and then, like, the budgets have to be really high for something like that to work. So people are scared of it, because what if... And they throw a guerrilla marketing like that. They'll say, like, hey, this person is attached to this movie, and then they watch for their reaction on social media. And if people go, like, yeah, I totally watched that... I think for a while they fell for that, and then they realized, oh, a bunch of people say they'll come to the movies and then don't come to the movies.
People lie on the internet.
Right.
People lie all the time.
But then how does Pacific Rim get paid? And I don't hate Pacific Rim.
Guillermo del Toro, I think. I think he stood up for it. And I think they probably saw his track record and thought, maybe. And then it worked, and they made a sequel, and nobody saw it. And we're done.
To be fair, the sequel sucked.
Well, yeah, but that's the problem. Sometimes they're going to suck.
But was Pacific Rim... something that they created off of Roblox? Or was
Robotech.
It? Robotech, sorry. Roblox. That's
like a kid thing. What? I'm sure that movie's coming.
Oh, well, there's a Minecraft movie coming.
How?
I'm not even going to get into that, but there's one coming.
8-bit animation is cheap.
Yeah, that's fair.
You guys just reminded me, there was that Warhammer movie that happened 10 years ago. Like,
those
movies get approved, and they're just based on... a bunch of people watch this, or a bunch of kids play this. Let's do it.
They're making Warcraft. Henry Cavill.
Yeah, but he's making a 40K movie.
Yeah, so that's Warhammer 40K.
This is an interesting.
And then, what do you think of one of yours? Okay. Warcraft.
This is
the one with
the guy from Vikings.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, so with 40K and Warhammer, those are like there's Warhammer, and then there's Warhammer 40K. There's actually a bunch of other ones too, but those are like the two biggest properties. They are, like, the people who are into that are very, it's like, Warhammer 40K and Warhammer are not the same thing. They may as well not even be the same company. I'm so offended that you brought this up. But then, it, like, it's one of those things, like, I'm sorry, I said it in passing. It's my fault. I should have thought about it before I said it.
There was that model store in the mall. I remember one time, me and my buddy were walking through the mall. We see this place, you know, big red sign. What's this all about? So we walk in, and there's a table, and people are, like, painting their models of the thing. It's obviously that Warhammer store.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, should I be interested in this? Is this my new hobby? So I start talking to the guy who owns the store, and he's, like, all engaged and stuff, and I'm like, after 2 minutes of a very intense conversation, I'm like, you want to invite me to your basement? I'm going to be encouraged to take my shirt off soon. This is getting very uncomfortable. And I've backed away slowly without making eye contact and never looked back at 40K the same way.
But again, that's how intense that culture is, like, to Chase's point. Like, they, like, if you're, especially, what's the other one? Magic. The Gathering,
yeah.
That's, like, very similar. Like, people are fucking passionate.
All of
that.
Those card games, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic, all of them, they're huge. It's just they're huge in underground subcultures. Like, you don't see them.
But that's not true.
People aren't setting up Warhammer 40K, like, tables in the park and being like, hey guys, gather around and watch us all roll dice together. Like,
but to that point, though, you'll see them dress up and battle each other, though.
In the forest.
Yes. But again, still outside. I forgot what point I was going with anyway. But the cards being advertised, like, even just recently, I noticed they've been advertising, like, Pokemon cards now and shit like that, like, and, like, actively on TV, like, just go to it. You can go to, like, the fucking convenience store and buy the cards now. But now there's, I've never seen advertisements before. Now they're opening that up.
So anime in general has, like,
that's always
very
been
deftly gotten into the North American market. And, like, nobody even saw it coming, right? Like, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Dragon Ball Z, all this shit's anime. Everybody was just like, oh, new cartoons. Because we stopped making cartoons. Like,
it's terrible.
Think about it. Like, G.I. Joe ends. Transformers slowly ends after that. Like, they do Beast Wars, and they do, like, a couple shows. But nobody never really gets back to its original thing. He-Man basically disappears for decades and then comes back as new animation.
Reboot was kind of a thing in the
Reboot
90s,
was, yeah, yeah. Well, that was when
that was, like, the first CGI.
I was going to say, right. Reboot
but
was
that's
made
Beast Wars era, right? The same kind of CGI.
Both of those were specifically made to show off what they could do with CGI, I'm convinced. Like, Transformers Beast Wars made a little bit of sense at the beginning, progressively less sense until you got to the end, where Megatron was no longer a Tyrannosaurus. He was now some kind of, like, mecha dragon. That, like, where did he find a dragon from which to scan so he could turn into a dragon? Like, that's how they get their powers. They scan the thing and they turn into the thing. Which still leaves me questions, like, Terminator, T-1000? Because think about it. They, like, get there and they're just robots and they scan a cheetah. And now this guy's parts all change to make him look like a cheetah. Rebel doesn't do that. I understand this is not real life. This is a cartoon about robots that are sentient. But I'm just saying.
Just, like, wondering where to start.
A bit of a plot hole. It's like,
it's just leave that alone. It's just.
But so the thing I've found with some of this stuff, like Warhammer, the reason they get so passionate about it is there's so much back canon. Like, there's so much lore that you can go into. Because I went down a 40K rabbit hole one day on the internet. And there is exceptional movies to be made in there. I would almost say it would be better off as a series, and I would say it would be better off as a series shot like Game of Thrones. Like, every week's an hour, it's super dark, there's, because the Warhammer 40K world, essentially it's just like, all there is war. Nobody's happy anymore, your life is terrible, humanity is just existing so that these other species don't take it over. And then there's this emperor who shows up, who's like a god, and he, like, fights for humanity, and there's all these different planes of existence, like the psychic realm and all this kind of stuff. So, like, there's a huge backstory. Same with Star Wars. You go back to, like, the Sith origins and all that kind of stuff that they've written now to go backwards. It's massive. And I think that's what's drawing people. Like, you just got to get them in the door, right? It's like a good restaurant. As long as I get you in the door and I give you some food, you're always going to come back here. And that's why they get so passionate about it.
But the question is how does the idea, when Hollywood's sitting around at a table, right? And they're like, ooh, Jennifer Lopez is going to make a garbage movie, but we'll get 20 million people to watch it the first weekend, right? Which equates this much money. Or we're going to make this, right? And then when you finally get to that point where they're saying, we're going to make this, my question as a movie watcher is, why did they choose that one? Out of all of the ones, you know, you got...
True.
You know, they're going to make 9 romantic comedies... and they're going to make children's movies, but they're going to make this one action CGI'd $300 million movie.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they choose
I think that? It's all workshop. It's all focus grouped, right? It's like which one got the most clicks to the happy side of the dial.
But people are idiots.
Yeah, they're the ones that are buying those movie tickets too, though, right? Like you gotta get the idiots.
I mean, even if you think of Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
I loved Andor. I actually think the show was written very well, and I enjoyed every minute of it, right? But it has the lowest ratings. Mm-hmm. If you ask your average Joe, they probably haven't watched it. There's no lightsabers in it. I don't know this guy. I didn't watch it, right? But then Kenobi, mm-hmm. right, has huge ratings. And from a Star Wars fan, I thought the show was mediocre, right? I really did.
Couple
right.
really good right. fights, but yeah.
People know who Kenobi is, and that's yeah. what got him in the door.
But that's now they're going to make another show on. They're going to go, Kenobi 2 or... You know, take a chance on this, right? That's
well, yeah. Unless they
and can that's all fan based.
Unless right? they can introduce a new character in like the Mandalorian and then make that, because people don't want to see heroes. People want to see villains. I've been convinced about this forever. If you want a successful movie, you don't need a good hero. Anybody can be a hero. Actually, the less likely the hero, the more likely people are to cheer for him. But you need a good villain.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't Actors have a shitty villain.
They'd rather play
and,
the villain.
Well, Marvel versus DC. This is what happened to DC's live-action universe. DC has shit villains. Like, mm-hmm. not all of them.
The whole thing is, they've got great... They do have great villains. Ooh. They always choose shit. Like, okay, top...
Joker,
always number
Christian
one.
Christian Bale, he said he didn't want to do Batman for the longest time. And Christopher Nolan finally convinced him to do it. And he says, okay, but... You have to make Batman not the least interesting character in a Batman movie. You have to make an interesting Batman because it's always about the villain. The villain's always more interesting than Batman.
Yes.
So Nolan sits him down and goes, no, this time, for real, you're going to be the most interesting character. We're really going to focus on the character development of the Batman character. Mm-hmm. And then Heath Ledger comes along and plays Joker. He goes, fuck.
It's over. Yeah. But like, okay, so I'll give you Joker and I'll maybe give you Darkseid.
Well, those are their major two.
Okay, who else do you have?
I mean...
That's it. They're done. They're dead. They're dead in the water.
But again, DC's focus, and that's the problem with them, is it's either Justice League or Batman. Like, sure. I've never... For them, for some reason, Superman's always been kind of second, maybe third.
Uh-huh.
And then now, especially with Wonder Woman, who's now taken, like, number two, so to speak, spot. Name a villain of hers that anyone remotely gives a shit about.
I don't...
Exactly. I can't name a villain of any other... Green Lantern,
well, you got
no, Flash, no.
Sinestro.
Sinestro, yeah.
Okay,
but I'm a Green Lantern.
Nobody Parallax. Cares about like Zod. Please. Zod is a one-off. I'll give you Zod. Zod is a great villain, but he's a one-off. If you don't beat Zod by the end of that movie, like he's just going to come back and do the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no Zod's motivation is so basic. That's why Joker is so powerful, because nobody knows what his motivation is. His motivation is to be a dick at all times,
and that's why I would say not even just DC wise, but I say villain wise, he's one. Of the better villains, because he's not a direct takeoff to the hero. Like, mm-hmm. if you look at most heroes and the villain they have, it's a carbon copy of them with different morals. Yeah. Like, you look at, for
Flash
example...
Flash and Anti-Flash?
Zoom, Reverse sure. Flash. It's, yeah. it's the same character. He's wearing a different color scheme.
Yeah.
Superman,
not even a good different color yeah. scheme. It's literally the opposite.
Yeah. Superman and Zod, same character, different sides of the fence. Like, well, if you look at Hulk, Abomination, or even Red Hulk. It's the Hulk. He's a different color. Like, every character has just an offshoot of them as a different character. DC, problem is they always just use that character. Whereas Batman, Joker isn't, like, just a Batman in reverse. He's a completely different fucked character. That's why he works.
Well, the beauty of Joker is that he doesn't want to kill Batman.
No.
Everybody else wants their anti, like, their opposite dead. You know what I mean? Like, everybody else wants to kill... Joker absolutely does not want to kill Batman. Joker would have nothing to do without Batman. Like, he would literally sit around being bored because this is the only person who's ever been able to compete with him.
Yeah, that's the best monologue in that movie. You know,
yeah.
I'll kill you. What would I do without you?
Exactly. Yeah. yeah.
But he's like, Joker's the kind of guy who would, like, instead of running a criminal empire, he'd light the money on fire and go, this is never about the money.
Yeah, no, he doesn't care because he just goes get more. You know what I mean? Like, if you're that crazy, I'm just going to go and fucking kill everybody and get whatever I want. But DC doesn't do anti-heroes, at least not nearly as well as Marvel does.
Well, look at Black Adam. Oh, well, that turned out.
But the issue, one of the issues with DC is that there's always the Superman in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
So what Marvel did that DC hasn't figured out how to do is Marvel had, obviously they had Hulk, they had Thor, I'm just saying those two because they're massive
powerhouses.
Powerhouses. Yeah. But they still managed to make a villain that you feared as a viewer could kill their strongest people.
For sure.
But in the DC universe, they've never went big enough to ever make you believe that Superman actually will die and actually could be beat. Because you make Suicide Squad, the world's blowing up, and everybody's watching it going, if Superman has massive, like, or perfect vision and can fly as fast as you want and has great hearing, like, why is he not coming to help? Is he on dinner?
The worst thing that's happened to Superman was he had to take, like, a 2-year nap. That's like the worst thing that's happened to him in the entire history of his existence is he went to sleep for 2 years and woke up with long hair and was like, I'm angry I haven't had a haircut. Also, how do you cut Superman's hair?
How does he shave?
And nails. Yeah. And shaving.
A mirror and his heat vision.
Oh, that was off a cartoon. I remember seeing the same one.
Actually, yeah, that works.
There's a comic book I read years ago that was called The Pro. Did you guys ever see that?
No.
And The Pro was a prostitute who specialized in super-powered beings because she could take punishment, right? And actually, you're laughing, dark. but it was pretty funny because, like, it makes a comic, like, if Superman is trying to, nut one off, right? Obviously, no woman in the world could possibly.
Well, there was a thing about that in Mallrats. Where how does Lois Lane deal with Superman?
He's like blow her head off.
Right? So but The Pro could do it, and it's pretty comical.
There's an old joke about Superman, so he's flying over Metropolis and he's super horny, and this is so inappropriate. He's flying over Metropolis, he's super horny, and Wonder Woman is suntanning naked on top of the Justice League. And so he like flies down and he's like, she won't even notice. It's super rapey too. I don't realize how dark this joke is. He flies down, he like has like super quick sex and then flies away. And Wonder Woman's like, what was that breeze? And the Invisible Man's like, I don't know, but my ass is killing me.
You know, the Boys is the show that is sort of like, kind of went down that path of like, we all want to see the good stuff in these heroes, but like, you know, how do they get their haircut?
But things like The Boys is what's opening it up, I think, to the rest of the world, like that's allowing nerd culture to be like, because The Boys is so messed up. Like Game of Thrones, everybody loved Game of Thrones. Well, everybody either loved Game of Thrones or hated Game of Thrones. Not talking about the ending, but I mean like in general. You don't get much nerdier than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is essentially a live-action Renaissance fair that you're like tuning into every week religiously to see what happens just in case a dragon shows up.
It's a soap opera with wizards.
Exactly. So you don't get you don't get nerdier than that. But because it was so dark and so like, that's why everybody's been saying, go darker on Batman, go darker on Superman, go darker. Because once you do that, adults are like, oh, okay, now I can get involved in this. Now it's all just sunshine
lollipops. There's been like these escalations of nerd culture like permeating into like pop culture. And, you know, Game of Thrones is a huge one, right? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Batman, like the Christopher Nolan going dark, you know. And Iron Man is like the Marvel Universe kicking off. Like those are huge.
Wait till Dune 2 hits.
I haven't even seen Dune 1 yet, but like that is a
you're missing out, man.
I know. I get pissed off when I see the first part, and I know I got to wait 3 years to see the next part. So I'm going to wait till Dune 2 comes out, then watch Dune 1 and see if I want to see Dune 2.
You definitely will.
But the one that I think was another huge step forward was Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
the early 2000s. But I was going to say, like, do you think it's more Lord of the Rings or the new Star Wars prequels? Because those kind of were around the same time. They probably both pushed forward sci-fi, fantasy, nerdy stuff.
Just to circle right around to where we started, it's interesting because all of these things are like, you know, when Game of Thrones came out, I saw the trailer a year before it actually, like it was on HBO, right? And I was like, can't wait. But the average person didn't, right? Mm-hmm. But then the celebrities that you would never know, like for example, Drake was given a Grammy speech, I remember, and he, at the end of it, said something about the North. What's the Game of Thrones line?
We the North.
The
North remembers or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. Right? He just said it at the end of his... Yeah. Right?
I was like, Winter's coming. Like, I remember he said that, but he didn't say something about the North.
Right?
No, I think the motto of the Stark family was the North remembers.
Yeah, something like that. So he said it. And then I remember the Irish guy that was in Game of Thrones. Sorry, in... in Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
In season 2.
He's Chibs.
Right?
Yeah.
I was watching some kind of YouTube thing, and then he has a huge basement of, like, Star Wars collectibles. Like, huge, right? So here's this guy that everybody's watching, tough guy, you know what I mean? Like, women, men, everybody's watching, all of a sudden, wait, you're a secret nerd? You're a closet nerd? Like, what's going on, right? And I think that that's contributed to it being normal, because guaranteed after Drake says that, the average woman who's been making fun of her husband, right? It's like,
oh, Drake's into it.
You know what I mean? Like, Drake's into
you're
it.
You're as
like,
cool as Drake. Bad, right? Dungeons and Dragons. There's like a whole celebrity subculture now of people who play Dungeons and Dragons together. Now, I would love to see those tables because like yeah. those models that, are probably
you,
top
yeah.
of
the line. Article I sent you about
yeah, Joe Manganiello.
Joe Manganiello. Yeah, the guy who's married to
Sofia Vergara,
like one of the hottest women who exists on the entire planet, and he's like, I often get together with my friends and play Dungeons and Dragons for hours, and then I go home and have sex with my hot wife. So the two things are compatible. You can do them at the same time. Maybe not the same time. It's the same day.
But you also
depends on your charisma. Right? if you're natural 20, yeah, sure.
but he's also he played Deathstroke in the for the 2 seconds in the DC films. He was Deathstroke.
So this just another thing about DC. This interests me about DC, and we've talked about this before. Why are they so good at animated? And so shit at live action.
It just seems to me is like, if you take the people who write your animated shit, give them a bigger budget and fucking do that. Like, I don't know how you can fail so much and like have a division that thrives.
You can
still
see that
suck.
In everything. Have you guys seen the trailers for those Star Wars, like when the video game came out, the Old Republic, those 15-minute trailers?
Those were amazing.
Those are unbelievable, mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And then you they make episode 7, 8, 9, and you're like, wait a second here.
If you've never watched the Old Republic trailer video that they made for this game, I highly recommend going to watch that because it will change. Like, you basically watch it and then immediately start emailing Disney being like, what is wrong with you? You have a whole story right here and it's perfect. There's twins again. There's like an emperor again. It's basically the same story, just told differently, but it was so well done, and like the way that they did the trailer was so well done. I would have watched the whole thing animated like that. Like, what's the Final Fantasy? Remember how they made all those animated final? But they were like, we've individually animated each hair on their heads, so when they move, the hair moves naturally, and you're just like, holy shit, this is incredible. I would have watched that whole Star Wars thing done like that. I don't even need live action anymore. Like, I don't need actors to do that anymore. If it was Star Wars and comics and stuff like that, I would venture to say I would rather see it like that. Because I don't know if anybody else has noticed this, especially in the original movies, the sword fighting in Star Wars is garbage. It's like hot, hot garbage. Because they're just like, in the beginning ones, they've got that big suit on, so Invader, so he can't really move much. I remember watching a show about this. They said this is why he would only like /, /. And then if you got some CGI, maybe he'd throw the lightsaber and it would come back to him, right? Then Darth Maul was the first time that they were like, okay, we're going to get a little crazy with this. You were going to flip in the air and have a double-sided lightsaber. And you're like, all right, we're getting a little better with the fighting. Sweet. Anakin comes along. So as the CGI gets better, the fighting gets better. Well, if you make the whole fucking thing out of CGI, everything can be better. You could have guys flipping off all kinds of stuff. You could literally have him. I've watched Anakin in a game pull a Star Destroyer out of the sky with his Force hands.
Oh, that was Force Unleashed, which would be an amazing movie as well.
It was, Starkiller.
Yeah.
But, like, pull this out of the sky with his hands. Do you know how much money you spend in a movie to do that live action compared to if you just did it straight in the video
building
game?
A Star Destroyer and putting it in orbit would be
insane.
Very expensive.
It's just a huge green wedge of cheese in the sky. Nobody knows what's going on.
That's why you get George Lucas to come back with his practical effects. Just have it on a string.
George Lucas will not come back. I want to keep this in the vein of like trying new things. So I think that the one thing that I used to go when I would get comics, I would go with my dad on like when I would see him on the Wednesday night, we would go to do whatever I had to do, like Cubs or Beavers or whatever fucking thing I was in. And then my reward for going to that shit was to go to the comic book store and pick out a book, whatever I wanted. I think that that's been lost. I don't think people go like we go to comic book stores. I don't think people take their kids to comic book stores as much as they used to. I think they'd like, you know, comics.
Yeah, but I mean, you can buy a lot of comics online. So, I mean, the whole brick and mortar thing is...
I don't believe
in
that.
Well, sure. But I mean, like, retail itself in general is dying. So, I mean, if you're saying comic book stores are not what they used to be, I think stores are not what they used to be.
Old gray man, she hates what she used to be.
But that's true, though.
Yeah, like,
there was, I mean, you know, nostalgia, like... When you're a kid, you go to the comic book store. You're still open up and you can, you know, look at whatever series you're looking at. Because I collected Hulk comics for years.
Yeah.
And then, again, I was like, I would have to go back to various stores because I would have a sequence of a series. But then I'd be missing, like, two or three from that. So I'd be like, oh, fuck, I can't make sense of this. So I'd have to go store to store to try to find those issues. Or now, it's like you say, you go online, you can just find it, like, instantly. So it's not...
I started to learn how to draw from comic books because I would buy the book and I'd be like, that's such a cool picture. I wonder if I can draw that.
Yeah.
And you do like 500 terrible versions of it. Maybe you knock one out that's half decent. Cool. You're not doing that with an iPad. That's where I think I lose them. Because they're like, flip, 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 flip. Okay, story's done. Next book, flip, 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 flip. There's no stopping and like, oh, I'm going to try and... Because you can't sketch off an iPad because the thing will turn off halfway through. You know, like, turn it back on.
Okay, buying a comic as like an e-comic or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that's, to me, that's different. You have to have the physical paper thing. There's something about having a tangible book. But I mean, like you can order those for delivery is kind of what I'm thinking.
Oh,
but,
like Amazon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, you know, I agree with you on both counts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's for me, it was the art. Mm-hmm. I would go and I would buy a comic that... I never heard of, but if I saw the art on the front at the time, you know, Jim Lee.
That's what got me into Spawn.
Yeah, there was all kinds of artists. Who's the one that that passed away? Cancer. He drew. He went off and drew Aspen and. Anyway, J. Scott Campbell was in that mix.
I can't remember his name.
Michael Turner.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Anyway, like they could be drawing, like you say, Archie. They could be drawing some kind of. I've never even heard of it, and I would buy it. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I don't collect comics anymore, but it would just be the title that I knew about, and I would order it, X-Men, if that's what I needed. I would not buy Domino or X-Force or something, because...
You're not going to wander through the racks and be like, oh, wow, like I really like this drawing. I'm going to take this, and if the story's good, all the better. But like Spawn, that's how I got into Spawn. Carnage... I love buying Carnage books, because Carnage is always drawn well, because he's so wacky, like his body is so... tenderly and stuff that he's always drawn well. My favorite comic book of all time is called Carnage Mind Bomb. And if you don't know anything about Carnage, he's a serial killer who has like a superpowered suit around him that's also alive, that's like in his blood. So Carnage is in a mental hospital in this comic book. You can't find it, or else I would tell you like spoilers, but I've looked everywhere. I can't find this thing. He's in a mental hospital and this doctor gets sent in to like examine him, and they don't realize that he's cut himself. And the way that he can activate his powers is if he's got a cut on his body, the suit will seep out of that cut and cover him again. In this book, the art is incredible, and Carnage gets inside this guy's mind. At one point, one of his tendrils shoots out and goes into the side of the guy's mind. And you see this 3-frame page of like, this is how you see the world. And it's like, guy eating a hot dog, lady pushing a baby carriage, you know, old woman with a cane, normal. Then you see Carnage's finger slice across the second frame. And in the third frame, he's like, this is how I see the world. Now that guy's sandwich has human intestines in it. Now that baby's carriage is on fire. Now that old lady has fallen down in the street and been hit by a bus. Like, it was such an amazing book. I wouldn't have picked it up if it wasn't for the cover. Because on the cover, it's him hunched over in that like evil supervillainy kind of like toad or whatever, you know, like that my whole body's in a springy state. All of his tendrils are coming off, and he's just sitting there staring at the front, and it's such an awesome, dark, fucking fucked up cover. I was like, I have to have this. Now, I don't know, I have too many Carnage books. Maybe it speaks to my mental health.
I was going to say, which is borderline concerning. How do you see the world, James?
I remember I had one comic with Carnage in it, and it was like this little cutaway of the main story. It was like something else going on, but they cut away to like what Carnage was doing. And there's a guy coming home from like his job at the work site or something, you know, metal lunch pail sort of thing. And guy who comes up behind him and says, Armand? Guy turns around and says, Armand McLuffian? He's like, I've been looking all night through the phone book for the dumbest name I could find, and it's yours. And then like Carnage's hand reaches out and like crushes his head or something. He's like, murders the guy for no reason other than I wanted to kill somebody with a dumb name.
Carnage is Joker of Marvel.
Yeah, like, really, kind of, yeah.
Like chaos at all times. That's all that matters.
Yeah. But a little more leaning into the violence. You don't see Joker personally murder that many people.
But that's only because that's the way DC writes him. Like realistically, he would totally murder 100. If you've watched the new Harley Quinn comic or cartoon story that came out, Joker is way more homicidal than that. Like he just shoots people, but like my show's not on.
Right.
And so they just need to lean into that more. He's got that potential, but DC always hedges their bets. Except for the Flashpoint Paradox, that was fantastic.
Oh, it was good. I did enjoy that. Although I got to say, for the new Flash movie, very hit and miss about whether you want to see it. And I think it's the nostalgia for Michael Keaton that's really driving that movie for people to see it. Other than that, like, I No interest.
John Shannon wasn't going to go. John Shannon? Is that the guy's name? Michael Shannon. Wasn't going to go back to do Zod. Mm-hmm. And unless he got Zack Snyder's blessing.
Yeah.
And then Snyder gave him his blessing, so he went back. And he was like, I was on set for like 3 weeks. But DC's such a clusterfuck that like nobody wants to go near it now. It's cursed.
They're in trouble. They're in serious trouble. There are actually rumors that Warner Brothers is going to sell.
Or they should.
Something because they're really struggling with money right now. They're not making anything good.
No. Well, the whole thing is now that's where they brought on James Gunn to hopefully right the ship. But the whole thing is he came in while they're in the middle of trying to launch all these properties, and then they scrapped all of them, and then they kept that pile of crap.
I'm not convinced James Gunn can save it.
Literally just scrap it all and just literally start from scratch. Like,
yeah, but Warner Brothers, like, when's the last time you've seen Looney Tunes? I mean, Looney Tunes was their big moneymaker, obviously, with their cartoons and then their live action.
You can't air Looney Tunes,
right?
If you ever go back and watch it, it's just not woke.
Right. Well, they space-jammed again.
Yeah, and look how well that did.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it didn't go well.
But there you go, Warner Brothers.
It was awful. So, I have a question for you, Ryan.
Yeah.
As a collector, what do you think about, like, Fan Expo, Comic-Con, like... What are we talking like? Because I find those things one crazy expensive. Like when I go to Fan Expo and I'm like, oh, I really want that. You know, some of the stuff's affordable. Like, oh, I want that poster. Yeah, $5-$10, whatever. But like some of the nicer shit that's there, I saw a Warhammer Archer bust, and it was big. Don't get me wrong. It was probably 2 feet tall by 2 feet wide of this Archer, and she's in like a bow stance, like she's drawing her bow back, and all this kind of stuff. The detail was insane. It was like $2,500. And I was like, holy shit. Like, that's an investment for something that's just going to sit, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, where are you at with those?
It's a great question. When I was younger, I used to go to the Sportsman Show. There's a point of this,
yeah.
Right? And the Sportsman Show at the time was, they had hay piles out. People had dogs. They would do the old shoot in the air and drop a dead duck and see which dog could go get it, right? You would go through the bins for lures and buy 99-cent lures, and people were friendly. It was like a garage sale that was inside, right? And then it went corporate to where, you know, all of the franchises were running it to where you needed $1 million to go in, right, and look through $500 rods in order to, right? So that obviously just...
Kills it,
right? Yeah. Fan Expo... Years ago was comic stores that had stuff on their shelf that wasn't selling through regular means, people coming in, not buying it. They would put it there for the price that they had in the store.
Mm-hmm.
They would put it there at Fan Expo and try and sell it, mm-hmm. right? Then all of a sudden, Marvel comes out and all the soccer moms, they don't mean any kind of just people that are trying to look for something for their kids to do for 3 days, right? They bring them there with a pile of money in their pocket and they'll pay, okay? Ridiculous money for things, which forces all the vendors to, ooh, wait a second here.
Let's if I can this, make right? $2,500 on this.
So when you walk through there, there are specific people looking for specific items, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, I can't find this. Maybe I'll find it there, yeah. right? Whether it's Pokemon, Magic,
Funko Pop,
all that stuff, which I don't understand, but anyway. Or you have a mom with a pile of money in her purse. And a kid that is 6 years old that's like Fan Expo that walks through
crazy
and like will pay $75 for something that is $30 in the real world, right? So
yeah.
I don't support it anymore. And it's just, I used to and it's my thing, right?
Yeah.
But now I'm like, why would I possibly go pay for an inflated thing and deal with the crowd for something that I can get elsewhere, right?
I'm the same way now. Like I went a couple times. The Tattoo Expo was going on this weekend in Toronto. I've been to that. Similar thing where you like go in and you're just like, oh yeah, some of this stuff is cool. Once you've gone once, if you're not actively going after specific pieces, you probably don't need to go again. The exceptions that I think would be like the ones in California, like Comic-Con in California or San Francisco.
San Diego. San Diego's the big one.
I would go to that. E3, I would go to that because like that's where you're going to see all the reason to go to E3 isn't to buy video games. The reason to go to E3 is to see what's about to come out that's going to like change the industry.
Yeah.
But the ones we get up here, like the Toronto ones and the Hamilton ones for a lesser event, like the Hamilton one, I remember I went to the Fan Expo in Hamilton. It was like 30 booths in a warehouse.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this an expo or is this an afternoon? Like,
yeah, it's that one is always pathetic. Like even the one in Niagara that they do is, it's like it's a fraction of the size it usually, with kind of in comparison to anything else it should be. There's like a handful of vendors. They bring in like F-listed celebrities that they can find,
and a couple of cosplay people who give a shit.
And then even then, it's just like, even the cosplay is even like to a very minimal level around here.
Comparably, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Maddie, our friend Maddie, and I, we went to the Toronto Fan Expo like 10 years ago, and it was intensely busy. They had like actual, you know,
they put on the Metro Convention Center. Oh, they can house it. Yeah.
And it was expensive, and it was all the things that we're saying. But like, people did put the effort into the cosplay and the whole thing. I didn't. Neither did Maddie. Like, you know, we just showed up and had fun with it. But I'll say one thing in defense of it, because it's gotten way too corporate. It's too expensive. It's you know, it's overdone in terms of all the little franchising or the mini ones. But the one nice thing about something like that is you get to see your tribe, right? You get to find your people.
Yeah.
And you go there and you're like, wow, I'm used to being one of the nerdiest people in the room, and I am not even top 50%. Yeah, it's
like walking into a house party and screaming dental plan, just waiting for somebody to answer back.
Lisa needs braces. Exactly.
But no, that's true though. It's
that's a very good point.
Yeah, like it's one of the events, and you know, they do more of them now simply because that, you know, the culture is there now. But I mean,
But you can say, doesn't it not bother you because it's not that big of a deal? But the reverse side of that is, as the nerdiest person in the room, right? To use your words, do you not want to go somewhere where there is a bunch of nerds in the room that are actually into the same thing you are, as opposed to 30% of them being like you and 70% of them being like, they do not even know what Star Wars is. I mean, everyone knows what Star Wars is, but you get what I'm saying, right? They have no idea what a spaceship is, or they have no idea, like, Batman, like, that there's another Batman, you know, but they're just there because on the news they said there's something going on in Toronto this weekend, and maybe, just maybe, some celeb, Mel Gibson, right? Mel Gibson, right? Travel through time, and he's going to be at the booth, right? And now you're dealing with, like, an enormous amount of people. Like, I was there about 5 years ago, and I came down the escalator, and Carrie Fisher, before she died, the year she died, was behind glass. I was like, holy. She looked at me. She was, like, getting ready to sit at the table. I'm like, and there was nobody there. I was like, what is this? So I had to go, and I was stuck going through the door for about 15 minutes, right? By the time I got around, she was gone. And then I was like, that sucked. Because I would have paid the $100 or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Actually, like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
And then she died. So my point is that all, like, it was just so busy. And I'm okay with being busy, right? Mm-hmm. If people appreciate it and not just something to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the issue. You can't go to the pyramids, for example. I've never been there, but apparently you can't get close to them because there's just so many people. You know what I mean? And it's just that sort of feeling
we're seeing the Mona Lisa at the Louvre, right? Yeah, you gotta wait 3 hours to get to see it from 80 feet.
Right, yeah.
The good thing about the pyramids is that you can see them from the Pizza Hut in Cairo. That's not even a joke. My mom has a picture on her phone. She's like, I took this at Pizza Hut. And like the Pyramid of Giza in the background.
They always show the angle where it's desert in the background. They don't turn it around. Like, that's Giza.
Yeah. And it's not as nice as it once was.
Well, first, to your point that not everyone knows Star Wars, that's not true. Because you know my wife, Miss, and she came downstairs when me and Maisie were watching Star Wars, because I was introducing her, and she loves that whole series now. And the first thing that came out of her mouth, Miss, was, she goes, is this in space? I fucking told her, go back upstairs. Like, no, I'm not even going to, like, even if you're not a fan, you know, it's in the fucking name. Like, I know. That bothers me.
Some people can't tell a Twi'lek from a Cardassian.
but those are, like Misty, like, if you were busy or whatever, Misty was looking for something to do.
Oh, right? She would like take her and stuff.
And she would take, you know, Max to go to, you know, Fan Expo along with another 70,000 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And jack up the prices for everything, right? And that's what's sort of turned me off. Just because I don't need to go there to get the fix that I used to have to get, right? To be with a bunch of nerds. Now I can just avoid it, save myself a weekend and, you know, buy online, which I'm not a fan of supporting online, but that's how you get exactly what you want.
I was going to say, that's the fastest way to get what you need. And I always went to those conventions hoping to see more, like, cool stuff. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of it's like, you got to dig for the cool stuff. Like, cosplay specifically, there's some people who put serious time and effort into that. And when they come out to places like San Diego Comic-Con, they look incredible. And you're like, I want to have a picture taken with, like, this guy's face lights up. Like, the laser swords and stuff going on here. A lot of times we don't get that at the smaller conventions and stuff, because it's just like they can't afford to have those people come out because those costumes are expensive, and I think they have to pay them to wander around like that. Maybe not San Diego because it's just so big. But that's another thing that, like, if you were looking at it from like a how do I get into this kind of thing, pick your favorite character, make your kid's Halloween costume, make your own Halloween costume, go after some of these characters that, like, Marvel characters, realistically, all you need is a spandex onesie. Like, that's every Marvel character.
So many spandex onesie.
Like, I would love to have been in that meeting room where they're like, okay, so we can't just dress these guys in spandex anymore. What are we going to make them out of? Like, because Superman in Man of Steel, you look at his suit, it's spandex, but it's like this weird, like, it's like Spider-Man's suit in all the Avengers. Like, it just keeps getting more rubbery and, like, more, no, it's not spandex. It's blendable rubber. Or something. Yeah, some kind of new Stark technology.
So you're talking about the whole theme, which is like, you know, trying new things and that sort of thing. So, like, okay, if somebody's going to try and get into nerd culture, maybe they've dismissed it, they think it's uncool, and now, hey, maybe it's not so uncool. Like, let me try out some nerd culture. What is nerdy in 2023? Because going to a Marvel movie isn't that, right? That's just pop culture now.
You'd be surprised, though, because, like, I've had a lot of conversations with people in, like, bars or, like, settings that aren't conducive to speaking of nerd culture. And if you hit on somebody's nerd kink, you see them light up in a way that, like if you happen to be, Maddie's a huge Star Trek fan, Next Gen.
Yeah.
He'd be very upset if I didn't
as
make that.
As am I, yeah.
So he's a huge Star Trek fan, Next Gen. When I found out that Maddie was a huge Star Trek fan, because I used to watch Next Gen with my brother's dad, like when we would eat dinner. We would eat dinner and watch Star Trek, yeah. It was the thing we would watch every night. And so I know most of that stuff. And when Maddie brought that up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen that episode. Like, I know who Data is. Like, I know. You should see. It's like he blossomed into a whole human for a second. He's like, yes, somebody understands me. And I've been at dark, shitty bars. And you've just been sitting there, and you'd be like, somebody'd be like, hey, what do you think about that Iron Man movie? And I'd be like, I thought it was really good. I think Robert Downey Jr. really nails Tony Stark, blah, blah, blah. And if they realize that you actually have an idea of what you're talking about, they just blossom into this thing where they're like, oh, good, somebody who knows what I'm talking about, because my girlfriend hasn't spoken to me about this in 3 years. Okay, what did you think about this? And what did you think about that?
But that's kind of what being a nerd is, really. If you wanted to define it, it's somebody who's passionately interested in something, often kind of narrow or off the beaten path, but somebody who's passionately interested in something. And you can... There's, like, guitar nerds. Mm. And, like, guitar isn't nerdy. Rock isn't nerdy. Mm. But, like, when you're really into guitars, you're, like, a nerd for that thing. So it could be almost anything.
Rock is super nerdy. Led Zeppelin, one of the biggest bands of all time.
Tom, like, Morello hangs out with Manganiello's D&D, right? Like, it has that intersection. But what I mean is, like, you can take anything and be a nerd for it.
Yeah. Because Ramble On? Is that the one that, like, he basically talks about
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. It's about the talking about it, because the question to open up to the group that's interesting is that Marvel will make $1 billion, right? You know, the next movie. Well, the next good movie, let's say, right?
No, next movie.
Okay.
Next movie.
But
at this point,
how many people watch the movie, go, it was a good movie, I took my kids, and then how many people will actually talk about it? That's the ultimate question, because I have buddies that have seen every Marvel movie and they liked it, but they absolutely will not have a conversation about, like, anything. Like, you think Captain America is a cool character? Do you think Chris Evans plays him well? Like, none of that will ever. Just not because they don't want to, because they don't care. They don't really, whatever, right? I saw the movie, I enjoyed it. Leave me alone, right? So that's where the question is how many people actually go to the next, let out their inner nerd and be like, you know, give you a bit like, well, what do you think of that? You know, and have the conversation about it, because now you're a nerd, right? If you're heard in public talking about if Chris Evans is a good Captain America and how that relates to the comic book, and then you're a nerd. If you just went to go see Avengers, you're not.
So if you want to, like, stick your toe into nerd culture, if you want to, like, try it out, it's about finding your passion. What is the thing you actually care about, and then having the courage to talk about it with other people and, like, get into the minutia of it, like, talk about the details. And don't just passively consume and toss away culture, you know?
So interesting you say that. I'm not going to say big into anime, because anime is just so huge and there's so much about it that I don't know. But some of the bigger titles I've become very into, specifically the show One Piece, which is about Monkey D. Luffy is this guy in this world who's going to become king of the pirates. And when you see him, he's 8 years old when you first see him. And he's like, I'm going to be king of the pirates. And everybody's like, yeah, sure, kid. And he's like, no. And this whole arc throughout the whole thing is he's just like, no, I'm going to be king of the pirates. Like, I know you keep saying I'm not going to be, but I'm going to be. So it's just going to happen. My ex got me into it. She originally didn't want to talk about it because she was like, ah, I don't like telling people about this because I don't want them to think that, like, you know, I don't want them to think less of me, like, from the nerd side of it. And I was like, nah, like, I'm there's canon to this, like, there's background story, like, feed, like, let me know, give me the information here. But I think that comes with being curious. If you're not a curious person, you won't dive into these things as deeply as, you know what I mean? Like, I consume information at, like, a addictive rate. Where it's just like, I don't care if it's ancient history, if it's comic lore, if it's modern politics. I fucking hate politics, but it's just using it as an example. I just need to consume the information. My brain needs to keep getting new stuff or else I like literally, I'm like those guys who are on hard drugs standing on the street that look like they've just been turned off, where they're just like half leaned over, just kind of like staring at the ground. So I don't know if you guys agree with this, but like the curiosity to feed your mind new information, I think, is what will help drive nerd culture forward into mainstream.
There's a reason why like science and stuff is often considered sort of a nerdy thing, right? It's the underlying thing is curiosity. People who just need to know, want to know, care to know.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole thing. Like the entire, most of the, like nerdy culture is, you know, how you say it's certain things are based almost on science, but there's science fiction. Like that entire thing is just, everyone loves to like space travel for some reason. It's an amazing just thing to think about.
It's
like
a vision of the future.
So yeah. Here's something we should bring up. Rick and Morty. Huge nerd following.
Yeah.
Massive. Science, from what I understand, and you could probably speak to this, is as accurate as they can make it given what they're doing with like the show and stuff like that. Like some of the things
he says...
They're
having fun with it, for sure.
They're having fun with it, but some of the things he says, like the science is researched. It's not just like science... We just said the word and now he has this gun and it's fine. That show has crossed so many boundaries of like people. It's almost like The Simpsons when they first came out, right? Because they were like offside. Like Bart said things you wouldn't say in the 80s, which is bullshit. Because if you look back, the 80s was a fucking Thunderdome. But, and then Family Guy takes it to another level. Then South Park takes it to another level. Then Family Guy takes it to another level. Then American Dad and all those guys kind of fall off. But, no, I knew I shouldn't have smoked that much weed last night. Anyways, either way. So Rick and Morty, Dan Harmon, the guy who co-created Rick and Morty, is like the king of nerds. It's like him, Favreau, and Judd Apatow. They all kind of meet together and like the triumvirate of nerdity.
The Triforce.
You got to put Tarantino in there.
Oh, yeah. Very true. Very true.
Tarantino for movies.
He's a film nerd.
Yeah. For what he did for movies, he did not care to me about if the movie made a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He had a vision and it's like, I'm going to make it and you either like it or you don't like it. I don't really care. Right? And
have you listened to his podcast at all?
No, actually.
He picks three movies that he watched on VHS in the 70s. And he goes to his basement where he's recreated the video store, video archives that he used to work at in L.A. with his producer, Roger Avery. He's recreated that entire video store in the basement. He's like, we're going to pick Aviator from 1974 off the shelf. And they watch three movies and then they talk about them. And like, I've never heard of any of these movies. And he goes deep into like the director and the film style and the influences. And I mean, that guy's a nerd, man. But it's a cinema nerd.
Loaded nerds are my favorite kind of nerds, because they'll push us forward. You know what I mean? Like, say what you want about Bill Gates, that man's a huge nerd, and he has advanced our society. Like Windows, as an operating system, changed the computer game. Like Mac was toying with it. Like they had because I remember using the Mac and it was very similar, like point click with a mouse, whatever. But like Windows, when it came out, changed the computing game. The same as I watched that BlackBerry movie that you put on thing the other day. They were so far ahead of their time, but once they came out, it took no time at all for everybody else to catch right up. So like that nerd that created BlackBerry, created the two-way messaging and like the stuff like that, charging for data, he was way ahead of his time and he pushed us forward as a society or back, depending on how you look at phones. But then Apple, like Steve Jobs looks at it and goes,
Hold my beer.
Exactly. It reminds me of an old Simpsons line where Homer's brother created the baby translator.
Oh, right.
And Homer looks at it and goes, why didn't you just take something that existed and put a clock in it? And, like, that's essentially what Apple did. They're like, are we going to take this thing that exists and we're going to put a clock in it?
What if we made them all white?
Well, and then another nerd at Apple goes, well, marketing person goes, why don't we make an app marketplace where people can self-develop and we will charge them a fee to use our marketplace to sell it to other people. And then they can, like, nerds are driving us forward. Their culture is also driving forward. It's just a matter of getting everybody to accept it and not think that they're trying to chip us.
Turns out imagination and curiosity are pretty good for advancing civilization.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the stuff in Star Trek, just to go back to the TNG, right? Like, half the stuff in that show is real now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've basically got a tricorder here in my hand, right?
Every time I open my door, it goes...
There's an app for that. But, like, you know, the iPad was basically on Star Trek first. Although it was funny, they would, like, walk into
the
like, 9 iPads, because they're, like, they're books, right? And you couldn't imagine the... You just put all those one.
Oh, dude, wait till the holodeck comes out. And then wait till the holodeck's used for porn, because it'll happen.
Okay, so...
that'll be the first use. Yes. It'll be anything else.
At Mohawk, there's a VR lab. And, you know, they've got all the stuff that you'd imagine. There's one thing they have. It looks like a boot closet, right? And it's just like three-sided, kind of open on the front thing with mirrors inside. And it's basically like the ultimate 3D TV. You stand in front of it, and whatever it's projecting across these different mirrors looks like you're looking into a new room, but it's just this box in front of you. And it's a pretty insane way. Like, they're saying, like, this is very edging closer to holodeck territory, mm-hmm. and without having to have the goggles on and everything.
So it's interesting, because they have those big, like, this would be part of nerd culture. They have those big VR rooms where you get gun packs, like Laser Quest, and you get the mask on, but there's fans all around the room to stop you from walking into the walls, because we're idiots and we wouldn't know these things. And so it was like, but like that in itself, paintball, even though it's a combat sport, again, air quotes, is total nerd culture. Like 100%. The guys get so into it, there's like masks and different
guns. It's military LARPing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's living your military dream without actually being shot with an actual bullet.
Airsoft is taking it to the next level because the guns look more real.
Yep.
Like that's like, a paintball gun looks like a fucking paintball gun. You can't miss it. But an airsoft gun without that little orange tip looks like a gun.
Yeah.
Like, so it was, again, military LARPing. Just taking it to the next level of, like, we're going to go play Call of Duty, but outside.
Yeah. And we all know somebody who gets really into that stuff.
Speaking of Call of Duty, there's another one that changed the game. You know what I mean? Like, if you think back, shooter games have been around forever. GoldenEye, Doom, Wolfenstein, whatever. Call of Duty hits, like Modern Warfare hits, changes everything. Opening it up online so people can kill each other.
First, that or Halo? Because Halo was...
Well, huge. Halo, it was to a different extent because there was no... Again, it was like you were a space marine, whereas Call of Duty brought in like...
Yeah.
You know, like they had like motion capping with actual soldiers for this game.
The guys
like,
with the earpiece going, watch your six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that, well, I mean, that's kind of... There's a little bit of a different take. I wouldn't say Halo was just like, oh man... And I didn't see anyone run out and like, you know, with their fucking Master Chief armor on running around. But
it's interesting you guys say that. Do you guys think it was Call of Duty? Do you just think it was the timing of the game with the technology of the console?
Also that.
Because definitely. Like there's all kinds of things I think back in life. And I'm like, if that came out now, right, would it have done what it have done? Like Titanic, right?
Yeah.
Titanic would... It's a good movie. We've all probably seen it, right? And it's a man. It was a good movie to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But like that comes out now, right today, and does it do $1 billion? Right?
No. Right.
You know what I mean? So, but that came out at the exact time when people needed that, and you could be blown away. And you know, James Cameron hit the nail on the head. And that Call of Duty's always, I've always scratched my head because I don't understand why it is as popular as it is, considering there are better games, right?
Oh, definitely. But I think we're story people. You know what I mean? There's two kinds of gamers now to me.
Online only?
Story people, and there's online people. And online people just want to yell, talk horrible shit to each other, and shoot each other for hours. And story people are like, I just want to find out what the fuck happened, then I can give this back. Like, I actually... PlayStation, I don't know if they've probably done the metrics on this, but if they could figure out a way to rent games between people, like if you could pay a service fee of, say, like $30 a month, and then anything that your buddies have, like any games that your buddies have, you could stream that game to your system.
I think Switch does that.
No, Switch does that. Xbox does that as well. You can actually, if one person buys it, you can actually have it installed in like your buddy's console.
See, that's good because like if I bought, back in the day, that was the beauty of the game, right? I went in, I bought the game. You want to try the game? Here's the game. You try the game. Give it back to me.
You go over to your buddy's house, you bring the games you have and they don't.
Yeah. And they don't do that.
Yeah, I was surprised. I went into a, it's not called EB Games anymore. What's it called? GameStop.
Yeah.
I went into GameStop probably 2 weeks ago, and there is a 6 foot section of games.
Yeah, the rest is Funko Pops.
And the rest is like,
oh yeah,
and everything like else, right? I was like, damn, games are, actual gone. Hard disk games are
gone, going, gone.
But then you say that, and the interesting part is vinyl, right? Oh. On Upper James, there's a place called Beat Goes On.
Yep.
And I walked in there, and there's two like 16-year-old, I'm guessing 16-year-old girls like looking and buying The Doors and Bob Dylan, right? Pulling those out. And I'm like, so on one hand, if you look at vinyl sales are like way up in a world where you can download any song you want, listen to any song you want, you can YouTube a song, do whatever you want, play it on any, you can get a song with the snap of a finger, right? But yet people are buying the disc, including myself, right? Yeah. But in games, it's all online. Not all, but it's, you know, nobody's going in to buy a disc of a game to, with a cover.
So those are audiophile nerds, right? New category of nerds, right? The ones who, like, I can hear the difference, even if science is like, no, you can't. But the other thing, the game literally is the game, whether you have the physical disc or you have the digital version. But a lot of people are going back to asking for, if the industry isn't going to provide, asking for physical media because like you buy a movie online and you're like, I'm going to spend $8 to download this off the Apple store or whatever. And then at some point they're like, yeah, we're retiring all these and your digital rights are revoked and you thought you bought it, but you actually just leased it from us until we decided you don't have it anymore.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's all in that boilerplate nobody reads.
Exactly. And so a lot of people are like, this never happened with my discs. Mm. So I just want to go back to having a physical copy of things. And a lot of people are now starting to collect and hoard older movies on like Blu-ray or DVD.
Sure.
Because they can't take it away from
them. For the corporations, it doesn't make sense. If anything, they're going to move all the way away from it because now they don't have to pay for the packaging. They don't have to pay for the production of that disc. They can be more green because they're not putting out garbage into the world.
But everything is going to be a subscription. Your ownership of that movie is a subscription. You're eventually looking at... Your heated seats are a subscription now.
So Matt Damon watched an interview on Instagram probably 2 months ago, and he said the movie industry is in trouble because he says it used to be, don't quote me on these facts, it used to be you had an idea for a movie, right? Mm-hmm. You needed a $100 million budget, let's pretend, right? You needed $50 million for advertising. So you need $150 million, you buy it, you make the movie, right? Mm-hmm. Even if the movie's mediocre, you got the second wave of video store releases, right? So you released the movie, it didn't do well at the show. Now all of a sudden you advertise the shit out of it for Christmas time, right? And at Christmas time, you're getting hopefully $70 million in sales, right? Break even. Mm. Now, without that second wave, right? There's one in two ideas are being turned down. Even from someone like Matt Damon or Ben Affleck that have proven records, right? They have to really fight to have their movies. Mm-hmm. So in saying that, right? You take that, plus you take the combo of there's all kinds of movies, being watching movies for years and years, that I go to these sites to try to find, and they are not available. You cannot find them. Like Private Lessons, Sylvia Kristel, 1973, I think it was, right? Which is a movie which would be taboo now about a kid who's in grade 8 who gets taught private lessons from his maid, right? What I mean? A mainstream movie at the movie theater, right? That was there, right? Yep. But it's not anywhere to be found, is what I'm saying. Because
Quentin Tarantino's basement.
Right? Yeah, for all that.
Guaranteed. So, and if he hasn't, he's going to hear about this podcast somehow. He's going to be like, I have never heard of that movie.
So the point is that, you know, the Hot Dog the Movie, right? Like these movies that you have these memories of, you know, Time Bandits, maybe that's on there. But just, and you're like, you go to look for it one day, and it's nowhere to be found, right? Mm-hmm. But you have the disc, like you say, in a basement somewhere. You can go and like, oh, I do have this disc, and you can watch it. So it's interesting to see what happens in the next 5 years between them making less movies, between people wanting to see what they want to see when they want to see it.
That's the weird thing that's happening. So they're going to make less movies, but our appetite for content is just going up. So you're basically like running into this, like they're going to strangle the market so that there's not a lot of content, and we're going to throw money at them to produce more content.
Or we're going to go somewhere other than movies.
Where right? you go?
Games or TV or anime or fair. You know, like there's all kinds of like they're in danger of making the medium less popular. But one other thing too is like how many movies, you know, bombed at the box office but then found their legs in the DVD market, oh, yeah. right?
Totally.
Like Office Space is one of those. Like everybody's seen Office
Space.
Basic
Cult Abuse. Classic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, Tarantino's biggest one. The original Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction, like, it did all right in the theater.
Yeah.
But then once it
for Academy Award.
But like once it hit the DVDs, yeah. like Pulp Fiction is yeah. like legendary. Everybody knows it.
And the same with Reservoir Dogs, because Reservoir yeah. Dogs didn't have
right,
a following
that was made
until
an $8 million budget.
Yeah, until
well, they
Pulp
did,
Fiction comes out.
Once you like, do oh. something so good, everybody starts going backwards yeah. and seeing all your back catalog stuff that you've already done. I think for games, they're trying to work their way towards children having credit cards. I honestly think they're trying to work their way towards you can buy. They have it already.
Yeah.
The PlayStation, like so, PlayStation cards, Xbox cards, where you can buy prepaid cards for money, so
right.
they can
put
go
this
buy
in
games.
The kids' account. They can buy all their Roblox
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. They're working Valorant towards kids having credit kids. Cards. Because think about it. That's essentially what that kid has. It's a very specific credit card. Like he mm-hmm. can't get off of his Xbox and go buy like a vibrator on the internet with his Xbox.
Yeah,
card.
I'm sure there's a wear crown somewhere.
You know, the creators of games over the last 20 years are geniuses. Mm-hmm. They are absolute geniuses because they've done the old L.A. crack syndrome. They literally give the sample,
mm-hmm.
right, to the block mm-hmm. and sit back and wait to see how many people come for sample two that you got to pay for, right? Mm-hmm. And with all these Fortnite and all these Minecraft games that are free, right?
Free games, yeah.
Free, but you got to wait. So I know how you can speed up the waiting to get yeah, the extra suit. Buy it, right? You can have the game free, and if you're willing to...
I mean, how many mobile games are that? You know, right. like you can build your little castle. It's going to take 2 days unless you have
Gold
tokens.
Exactly, right?
I directly measure my mental health by what I'm willing to spend on a mobile game to win. You know what I mean? Like if I'm like, I just cannot get past this level, I will spend $2.99 to get past
this
level.
It's you just need that endorphin because insane. It doesn't seem like that much money. Like, we all have this threshold in our mind of what a lot of money is. Mm-hmm. It's super weird. You go outside and you're like, I'm not going to pay $10 for a Coke, right?
No.
You know, mm-hmm. absolutely not. Some people will, some people won't.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, $4 for on a video game, that's okay, right? You know what I mean? Like, but well, you won't spend $4 on a stick of gum.
Nope.
Right? Or,
and what are they giving you?
At least the stick of gum, you get the stick of gum.
I was going to say, what are they giving you for that $2.99? Nothing. Yeah. All you're getting is a slight endorphin bump yep. because you got past that level and you now get to see what the next thing is.
Yeah, right? I see you at the next level and be like, God damn it, I need to buy it again.
I got one
my,
more
my rank in the corner changed. Now I have a gold little pin or something. Like yeah. It's this complete virtual token.
I got one more conspiracy theory for you for ones that I made up. Call of Duty is directly representative of who America will be getting into conflict with next. So, like,
training you to hate the
exactly,
enemy.
They're
the
training
next generation.
You to hate and kill the enemy without thinking twice about it, right? So, like, at one point, when it started, Modern Warfare 1, I think, was Russian separatists.
Yes.
Interesting.
But to be fair, you go as far as like Black Ops 3, you're like space aliens.
Well,
and
Black
Marines,
Ops, so that's the thing. That's why they made two different sections, right? So, Call of Duty, for those who don't know, gets released every November. There's a new Call of Duty game, but they jump between titles. So, Modern Warfare comes out 1 year. The next year would be a Black Ops or
whatever
the next one is. And then the year after that would be another Modern Warfare. And they off-play each other. The Black Ops ones, yeah. That's where you get people in like super jumpy suits and laser guns. And you're out in space shooting each other, whatever. Which, I mean, you give it time. We'll shoot each other on Earth. We'll shoot each other in space.
Space Force is a thing now.
It is. It's a real thing. It's not just a Steve Carell show. Like, the government is putting money into this. But the Call of Duty games, like the specific ones, it's like, oh, now we don't like North Korea. Oh, now we don't like the Middle East. Oh, now the Russians and the Middle East are combining. We don't like both of them. And it's just like teaching you to shoot that accent, that like image over and over and over again. Tell me that you couldn't put a soldier mentally in a room with Call of Duty and have him play that for a year straight and then drop him in a battlefield and he would just mow through people. He'd be like, oh, you're not people. This is a game.
Apparently, the Army did produce a video game that there was almost explicitly for training purposes. Mm-hmm.
That was
it was bad because it was like the U.S. soldiers were basically invincible.
I think
were super easy to kill.
I think I played that game. Well, not that game, the Army game, but there was one that they came out. There was like, this is as close as you're going to get to real four-man fire team or five-man fire team.
I think it was like 6 days in Fallujah or something like that. I can't remember the name of the game.
And it's like, yeah, it's totally real. But the thing is, in a video game, you don't want to be real. I play NBA 2K. I play NBA 2K for an hour at a time, like probably like once, maybe once every other day. It's a good way to like disconnect for an hour. Every NBA 2K game I have played since halfway through my first season, my guy averages 75 points a game with like 20 rebounds and 20 assists. He's the greatest basketball player that's ever lived. Like the GOAT conversation wouldn't be a conversation. I have not lost a game in 3 seasons, and my team is, I will trade good players away to make it more challenging because the dude's just so overpowered. That's what you want out of a video game. Because when I lose at those games, I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm not playing this game. I'm out of here. Like,
and pay money to be bad at something.
Exactly.
So can I ask you a question about the video game thing that's always just been on my mind? With movies, we talked about earlier that they will make 10 movies if they can make a penny, right? The video game, I don't understand because I'm not into it really, why they don't totally go crazy on video games that make money. For example, Resistance or these games that have like one or Halo. Someone mentioned Halo earlier, right? Where they make $1 billion and then they just fall off the planet. Like, why are they not making another Halo in 3 more years and another Halo in 3 years?
Oh, they have. Halo has continued.
Oh, really?
Like there's,
oh, I didn't even
there's,
so no, there, know. So, the newest that. Iteration didn't sell as planned. So, and they also have like dedicated a huge team of people. They've also axed 90% of that team because they didn't make the quote that they were looking for.
Well, but what Halo did, so Halo did a TV show that was actually really good.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, where they see that, because they know that you're eventually going to run out. The Halo story eventually runs out. You know what I mean? Like most stories eventually run out.
But even not Halo, like, The Force Unleashed, Star Wars, right? Yeah. Like the Spider-Man, like there's just so many, like with movies,
Assassin's Creed. They will throw
$300 million at a movie, right? Yeah. To have it released a year after with a garbage plot just so they know that, well, it's fresh in everybody's mind, they're going to go see Spider-Man, the next movie, right?
So I think part of the answer is that the margins on video game production are actually a lot lower than people think. I think a lot of really good good games didn't make a ton of money because of how much you had to put into the creation of it. All the artists and all the
licensing
and the marketing. And then by the time you're done, you're like, yeah, we made a bit of money, but like it's tight. And if we do this again, is the market saturated to half the people buy it? And we had to, you know, so the money is all now in like subscriptions and like in-app purchases and DLCs. And shipping broken games you spent half the money on that you needed to, with a patch coming later if enough people buy it.
Okay.
Right? So tons of games are shipped broken.
That's the whole thing is now they've actually even said it like as an industry standard now. Day one games, don't even buy them because it's guaranteed broken. Because by like that afternoon, they have to develop a patch. And they've said it with like almost every AAA game now. You always see a day one patch.
I heard that about that Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk was broken. Massive, completely broken. Well, they had to release like a 40 gig patch for it, like right off the bat.
And pre-orders are the other one. They rely on pre-orders to fund the project. So they only start with enough money to make half the game. And then they have to sell the game before the game's out in order to fund the back half of development. But that'll only get you to like 90%. Now you have to release it day one to fund the fixing of the game.
So how does... I saw a trailer for a Star Wars game. I couldn't even tell you the name of this. About a year ago, right? Mm-hmm. Looked awesome. Some guy was beating like some big gong with some sort of Sith marching. And then I heard that game will never come out, right?
Star Wars, what was it? Like 886 or something. They scrapped it. Mm-hmm. They had to put out an incredible trailer. They couldn't get the proper backing for the game. So they completely scrapped it.
That was like they had big ambitious plans.
You were like a brand new bounty hunter, bring in the universe. It was like it actually looked really, really good. They axed the game completely.
Is this the one that Ubisoft was going to do?
Yeah,
that sucks. That was going to be so good.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the gaming world, you know, enough. All my kids have a system in their room. You know what I mean? When a Star Wars game comes out every 10 years, I play it for, you know, don't know, 3 days, and then that's where
you got your fix.
Well, right. from a collecting standpoint, video games has become interesting in the sense that now, because of people like McFarlane, they're like Assassin's Creed, you can buy all those dudes, like models and figures of them, like doing crazy things, and you could like all of them. You could buy NBA 2K guys, like it's opened up a whole new market for them to get into through the video game canon. Same as comics, right? Like the movie Hollywood, like when did Marvel start back up? Like 15, 20 years ago now? No. When did Iron Man 1 come out?
It was like 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
so,
I think it might be longer than that.
So anyways, Iron Man 1 comes back out. Or comes out. Before that, Hollywood was like, what are we doing for stories? Anybody got a bunch of stories kicking around that they don't need? And then you turn around, you look at this huge deluge of comics that have stories that go like months and months at a time, and they like, it was like finding gold, you know what I mean? It's like, oh.
But you bring that up, and that's probably them thinking, is there enough nerds in this world to support that? That's where that happened, right?
But there is now
there is,
yeah, because now they brought it to the mainstream.
Well, it's generational too though, right? The interesting thing is going to be like, we still focus on stuff. How are you going to get a TikTok generation to focus on anything long enough to make it worthwhile?
Attention spans, man.
Yeah, like, it's gone. Like, you're going to tell me that you're going to get a TikTok kid to sit through? Like, I mean, I don't mean a TikTok kid like a kid who started using TikTok in the last year. I mean like a kid who's been, like, Vine and TikTok for since they were able to hold a screen that have, like, a six-second attention span, and you want them to sit through a two-and-a-half-hour Infinity War movie?
Well, this is why movies themselves might be in danger. But then the other thing, too, is, like, a few years ago, they started doing this thing with, like, after shows and, like, all of this, like, you know, if you're watching The Walking Dead, it was after The Walking Dead or whatever. Yeah. But they also were like, you know, if you want to live stream our reaction to the episode while you're watching it, turn on this, go to this channel for our two-screen experience.
Watch my face go from shocked to sad to kind of confused.
As if there's somebody in the house with you. You lonely, lonely person.
But again, they know their target audience.
But that's the interesting thing is, I wonder if that's going to be the next iteration of this. Is like, yeah, there's going to be a two-hour movie, but you can consume it in 30-second chunks, and also there's TikTok dances somewhere in it, and you're going to have five screens, and most of them won't be the movie, and also you're gaming.
I need to bring up a genre that we've missed so far, because if I don't, most of my friends will never forgive me. Horror nerds.
Oh, that's a huge thing in itself.
Because, like, the whole horror movie genre and, like, the stuff that's been added to that. Like, we were talking about this toy store or the comic store near where you and I live, what has, like, 3-foot Freddy Krueger highly stylized detailed dolls for sale. And, like, all the horror stuff is in there. Regan from Exorcist has her own doll. And Saw has his own doll. And, like, Jigsaw has his own guy. That is another one where they're like, I think they're just getting better at merchandising now that I think about it.
Yeah,
I think they're just looking at stuff and going like, why aren't we just producing this stuff? People will buy it. There's tons of disposable
income. Horror movies is the Hollywood dream. Because horror, any documentary you watch or any conversation, a horror movie's budget is like
nothing.
I mean, half the time, you know, you got to have the main guy, you have to make it look realistic, you need a set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you're past the $30 million, it's like...
Grimier it looks...
Indie horror stuff.
Right? The grimier it looks, the scarier it is. Like, if I see... none of those guys are really scary, but like, if I see Michael Myers in 4K, I'm like, that's just a dude wearing a William Shatner mask. If I see Michael Myers in a 1980s grainy-ass, like, video cassette version... and the sound's a little bit fucked, and he's just kind of like popping up and really freaky, that's why horror isn't scary anymore. Because it's the same reason Cameron Diaz apparently can't act anymore. Like, 4K is too intense, and it just will not allow for her face to be on screen. And
man, that is some vicious shade.
Right? Well, so Cameron Diaz quits acting, she retires, she goes and opens a winery. Super loaded, married to one of the Madden brothers, not the football Maddens, the punk rock Maddens. And so she's like out of the industry. But the rumor that went around was that I guess she's got like bad skin for a celebrity or something like that. Like she looks older in 4K, so she just wouldn't do it anymore. Because everything's being shot in 4K.
Yeah.
I think it's the studio's right. Not wanting to spend money on her face.
The actual porn industry fought against it for a long time. Because
I believe that.
Well, because...
there's a lot of stuff you don't really want to see.
Close-ups of, even just skin, acne, you know, all that stuff. It's like, it's sort of...
You lose the illusion of what it is.
You lose the illusion.
The illusion of perfection.
You can see the STDs. I grossed myself out.
Just like, I'm going to go outside and wash.
I don't know if that's a good way to end the podcast.
Oh, Jesus, no.
You know who didn't shy away from 4K? Mel Gibson.
He's been waiting for 4K to release his masterpiece for 2,000 years.
I remember at one point somebody said, like, Mel Gibson is going to do Passion of the Christ 2, and I was like, what?
No, no, that's still a thing.
Yeah, I heard.
How do you do Passion of the Christ 2?
This time is personal.
I think he's still working on Christ. Yeah, I was like, he's still working on a script. I don't know.
Jesus comes back. I honestly... I find endless humor in the idea of Jesus coming back after 4,000 years and being like, huh, kind of a lot's changed. We should talk. This book might be outdated.
It's a possibility.
Dude, I give him 2 weeks before he is surrounded by hookers named Mary, standing on Conor McGregor's Lamborghini yacht, out of his mind on cocaine, just being like, the future is awesome!
Surprised it hasn't happened already.
He hasn't come back yet. Probably because last time he stopped by, they nailed him to a board and left him outside for 3 days.
Cocaine Jesus might sell. We could do that.
Hey, Cocaine Bear sold.
They're making another one, like Cocaine Wolf or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's a whole other side of like Sharknado and Cocaine Bear and like all the... how man. Fucked up can we make animals?
I look forward to Cocaine Bear. Like I actually was like, oh, I'll see it. And then I'm just like... You were talking about the TikTok generation. I think that that's playing into movies where there's a lot of assumptions that we don't have to be explained something. Something doesn't have to be explained to us, right? Like they've just, you should know that. You know what I mean? And some of us want to actually see why stuff happens or how they happen, right? We don't want to skip past it. And that's what's happening in movies. You watch a lot of movies and you're like, you look at the person beside you and you're like, How did they get from New York
from
New York to LA? Like they were in their kitchen. They were like, "Yeah, I'll be there." And it hasn't even went nighttime yet. You know, they used to actually do that
time lapse.
Yeah, that time lapse shot to say, "Oh, he's traveling." You know what I mean? Or he's in an airport, but now it's
so. I guess he's in there's LA, a theory right? That's part of what killed Game of Thrones when they ran out of source material. The thing is that what's his name? The author
George R. R. Martin.
He would painstakingly have to figure out like, okay, this person was here. And then they have to get here. And that's a certain amount of travel. They couldn't get there in that time. So we got to like figure out how long it takes them to get there. He would go through the logistics
first season was one of the daughters getting up to the north.
And then when they get D.B. whatever their names are. D&D.
D.B. Weiss and I don't know.
Benioff?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So when those two guys come in and they take over, people started making fun of them online for teleporting characters. And they're like, that person was here, and then like the next day they're 1,000 kilometers to the north.
That's the other thing. Like in shows like that, especially in shows like that, do you know how long it took to go anywhere? Like to go one town over might take you 2 weeks. Like,
but that was also part of the plot because they would have the Jaime Lannister and Brienne of Tarth. We're like traveling somewhere, and like one of them, you know, they get ambushed by bandits, and there was a whole thing because they had to travel because the trip mattered to the story. But once you can start just the character needs to be here, so they're here. You've taken out the whole element of building, a plot that kind of makes sense. So I think we're getting lazier with our storytelling, and it's a bit of a problem. And the thing about nerds. Nerds will go online and they will point that out because they care about the details. They're curious. They want to learn. They want to get into the details of everything. And that's the people who are going to point out this doesn't make sense.
There's that great, I wish I could remember this line. It upsets me that I can't. There's that great Simpsons part where Milhouse is being interviewed.
He's playing the ribs like a xylophone and he strikes the same rib and gets a distinctly different key. Boy, I hope somebody got fired over that blunder. Yeah.
Like that is nerdery at its peak right there.
Yeah.
But
whenever you see something like that, a wizard did it.
In the same, like in saying all of this, like even like, I mean, we've kind of said like, the convention's overpriced and they are, but they're still worth checking out. You know what I mean? And like going to a comic book store, take your kids to a comic book store, buy a book and read it with them. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. People don't read to their kids anymore. It's pretty documented. iPads read to their kids now. And I get it. My iPad reads to me. It's much easier than me having to read myself.
Me and my son are almost at the end of Harry Potter, the entire series.
Nice.
And that's been a fantastic deep dive.
Oh, yeah. Harry Potter, for like, you want to talk about nerdery, Harry Potter, for all it is incredibly engaging. Like, it's an entertaining read. And, like, it takes a lot for me to read a book. Because I'm one of those people that, like, chapter one, the... like, it's just gone. And...
Has that ever happened to you recently, though? It never happened to me years ago. Now, one page, I'm
oh, no. Sleeping. This has always been my thing. Like, unless I'm really into the book, so this might speak to my psyche. The only books that I've really ever, like, gotten all the way through without having to be, like, pushed to finish it by some kind of school project are the Harry Potter books, because I read them on the train when I was commuting to Toronto, and the Silence of the Lambs series. That's it. Those are the only two things that I've ever, like, read the books all the way through. Everything else, I'm like, no, I just can't do it. Like, Dune. I love the new Dune movie. I think it's one of the best movies I've seen in years. I can't wait for the second one. I think Denis Villeneuve is killing it. I think they're using CGI well, but they're not, like, overusing it. I will never read the Dune books. Ever. They're way too long. There's so much involved. There's whole religions that you have to get through. There's languages. There's different planets. There's political intrigue. There's, the Dune saga covers 10,000 years. Of human history, like accurately, not like, well, accurately, but like detailed 10,000 years. Specific. It's not just like, not like, oh yeah, so in year one, this happened, and then we jump forward to year 1,000 and this happened. It's like, no, year one, day one, and we're going to go every day until we get to 10,000 years within reason. So I just can't do that. But comic books, the beauty of comic books, I can get through a comic book.
Yeah.
And there's pictures. I mean, I'll say it. I like pictures when I read books. Yeah. Like, it's the same reason I like my multivitamin shaped like dinosaurs. It's more fun. I don't know why we have this thing. Only idiots read books with pictures. Why? Because seeing pictures is stupid?
Yeah. I don't understand why more pills aren't shaped like cartoon characters.
That's what I'm saying.
If I can get antidepressants that look like The Simpsons, I'm all over it.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, on that note. But I think we had a pretty... interesting discussion today. Definitely went longer than we usually do, but I would probably revisit this again.
Yeah.
I think was good. But thank you, gentlemen, for joining today.
We could do a knockoff of Tarantino's thing, where if three movies come out of like a high nerd yield, we can do a review of those three movies.
So the Fast X trilogy?
Yeah, that could be one of them.
I swear to God, like time travel's coming in one of them. Anyway... So we will, I think we'll leave it there. So thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you. Special thank you to the super talented Jordan Washburn for providing all the theme music here for the No Pro Podcast.